All right, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. It's on page 869 in the Bibles in the chairs. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. Excuse me. Luke 11, starting at verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?"
Well, I want you to imagine for a few moments that you are traveling in some lonely stretch of the highway in northern Minnesota in winter, and it's beginning to snow. And the wind is blowing, and your car breaks down. Okay, got the picture? You're a long ways from a tow truck. It so happens that you have a friend in a little town not far from where you're at, and he has the equipment to get you out of the ditch. You've gone into the ditch, so it's gotten worse. And maybe he could get there in 15 or 20 minutes. Now, you normally wouldn't bother him at midnight. You know, why are you driving anyway there at midnight? But, so it's not a good time to call him, but you're in a predicament. So you get on the phone, you call him, doesn't pick it up right away. You know, says, do you just give up? Your children are starting to cry in the back seat, and, the snow is getting heavier, and you dial again. Jesus told a story about a man in a difficult predicament. And he used it to teach us a lesson about prayer. This is part of a larger section, which is read here on prayer. And Jesus tells us how to pray and what should be our primary motive in prayer. And he encourages us that we have a generous Father that wants to respond to us and give us what we need. And in the middle of this passage, there's this curious story about a man. And just to share the story again briefly, this is in the Middle East, okay? Ancient Palestine. And this gentleman has guests that arrive at midnight. No cell phones in those days. So someone just shows up with his family unannounced. And there's no food in the house, nothing to set before this family. And this is a terrible predicament. And so the man goes to a neighbor, starts knocking on the door, and the answer is not all that positive. You know, we're in bed. Our whole family's down for the night. You know, sorry, you know, another time. And this guy just won't take no for an answer. You know, so he keeps knocking. I can hear him, you know, waking up the whole neighborhood. And this poor guy finally says, all right, I'll get up. And he finds some bread and cheese and, you know, whatever to give to his friend. And Jesus says, even if not for the sake of friendship, because of this guy's annoying persistence, the neighbor will get up and give him everything he needs. And this message, the force of this parable, and Jesus is using this to remind us of how generous our Father is, and that we should not be too quick to give up as we're knocking and asking and seeking him. Now, we could lose the force of this parable for cultural reasons. Hospitality was huge in the Middle East, and I think is today. Now, I remember I mentioned that I was in Venezuela. My first period in Venezuela, I hadn't met Carolyn yet, and I was living with a Venezuelan family. And I remember one weekend, this Venezuelan couple, the pastor had a visit from the ministerial association. There were three leaders of the National Free Church Ministerial in Venezuela. They were coming to check him out. He'd come from another association. He'd worked with crew. Maybe he'd be a good guy. But they wanted to listen to him preach and then interview him and see if they could give their blessing to his being in our association. Kind of a big deal. So they were going to be staying with us that Saturday night and on into Sunday. Well, sometime Saturday, there's a phone call from some friends of my pastor friend. We're on our way, you know, look for us about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, you know, tonight, you know. This is a large extended family. I think they came in more than one car. And, you know, so, well, you know what, you know, no question, you know, come on in. You know, we'll find, you know, hammocks and corner for you to stay. And so that night, 17 of us under one roof were bedded down. And next morning, 17 of us were served breakfast, you know. You just don't turn guests away. And so I share this. So when we read this story, I want you to understand this was a real dilemma for our friend, because it was unthinkable to turn his guests away or to send them to bed hungry. Unthinkable. And as sons and daughters of the kingdom, sometimes we find ourselves surrounded by a rebellious world and rebellion against God, his rule, and the needs around us are overwhelming. But it seems unthinkable not to attend to these needs or not to bring the message of God into this world. And what do we do? We don't have the resources. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom. The world is against us. And we feel ourselves in a predicament like the friend in the parable. We find ourselves without the necessary resources. Now, there are many situations in life when you may feel this way. I want to say a word to the seven graduates. Really, really neat. Really proud of you to have made this accomplishment. And as you head out to the next phase of your lives, I can imagine that you may be a little bit nervous. You know, maybe not. You know, maybe everything looks cool, great. But there are a lot of unknowns out there. And believe me, if you really are serious about following Jesus, wherever that career is, or that next step, that job, the school, the mission trip, you know, whatever that is, and you're serious about following Jesus and honoring Jesus, I have to tell you the bad news first, that there are going to be some bumps along the way. And there are going to be some times, you know, how did I get into this? The good news is that our Heavenly Father is ready to help you, and he has all the resources you need. No limit, unlimited resources. So hang in there. Maybe sometimes you have to wait and you're left hanging there for a little while and God comes through. He will come through. He will come through. Our Father, like the neighbor of the parable, has the resources we so desperately need for any situation we face. In contrast with the neighbor, get this. In contrast with the neighbor, he is never bothered with our requests. Don't take from this story the idea that, you know, well, God is kind of like that neighbor, you know. You have to kind of keep bothering him and knocking, you know, and then he'll get up and give it. That is turning the parable around the way that Jesus didn't mean to say it. It's how much more if the neighbor in the parable will be bothered into getting up and giving bread to his neighbor, how much more will your heavenly Father give to you as you keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking? He'll give you his Holy Spirit. He will provide you with the resources that you need. He is never bothered with our requests. Now, I think there is a hint here that sometimes the request, the answer to the prayer, doesn't come right away. So we need to wait. And Jesus suggested that his kingdom may tarry. A lot of promises of his coming kingdom, but in the parables and so on, you get the idea that, you know, the man goes off on a journey and so on. And so inevitably, as followers of Christ, there are times we're going to be waiting. We're waiting for the kingdom to come in its fullness. But also maybe sometimes for those markers of his kingdom, those signs, those visible evidences that God's kingdom is breaking through. And things like the reception of the gospel among a group of people, or the release of captives. And God wants to do those things, but sometimes there is a period of waiting. The history of missions, I'm kind of jumping ahead in your outline, but let me say the history of missions testifies to the faithful, persistent labor and prayer which ultimately resulted in the harvest for God's kingdom. There is a book called Operation World, and there's a CD that catalogs what God is doing in different countries and among different groups of people around the world. And I've had versions of that since 1985. The amazing thing is to see how many of those prayers God has been answering. And countries have been opened up, and church movement, planting movements have been initiated. And, wow, I mean, God has been answering those prayers for unreached peoples and for countries and for cities and for specific needs around the world. But there's a lot to do yet. So we're not to grow weary in asking our Father to pour out his Spirit and bring down the blessings of his rule to our sin-infected world. At the end of this section in prayer, Jesus says that your Father is so good that he will give his Spirit to those who ask him. Now think about that. That's a surprising statement, perhaps at first glance, but as God pours out his Spirit, we see people repenting, convicted of their sin, coming to Christ, seeing the glory of Christ. We see the church unified, pursuing holiness and righteousness. Captives are set free. People who are in sin's bondage are released. All kinds of good things happen when God's Spirit is poured out. What a wonderful thing to pray that God's Spirit would be given in greater measure in all those different situations. Families, where we want God's Spirit to be moving among our loved ones, among our friends, in your community. So we're not to grow weary in asking our Father to pour out his Spirit and bring down the blessings of his rule in our sin-infected world. Now, I'm going to suggest to you today that not prayer alone, but persistent and shameless prayer is necessary for the accomplishment of God's purposes. Now, in this passage, the versions really give a different take on that word. It's importunity, the neighbor for the neighbor's importunity receives what he needs. In ESV, it's impudence. In NIV, shameless audacity. Well, you know, this is a word that occurs only here. It's a Greek word, okay, in the original language in which the Bible was written. It occurs only here. Now, outside of our scriptures, everywhere that we know, this word was used for shamelessness, kind of going beyond the bounds of propriety, you know, being kind of annoying, if you please. It's just kind of striking that Jesus would use that term. I think he wanted to make a point. I think it's easy to become polite and very relaxed about praying when really there are some desperate needs around us, and what is called for is daring, dangerous prayer, desperate prayer. Now, a week or two ago, the Pew Foundation came out with this latest research in the state of religion in America. And one of the things we learned was that the number of professing Christians is going down in our country. And the number of nuns, people who profess no faith, is increased. And it's a significant increase. And that ought to alarm us. Now, there's good news and bad news. The good news is that for the evangelicals, self-professing evangelicals, it hasn't gone down very much. Maybe that's good news, because I would hold that those who are evangelicals are most faithful to the gospel, as we understand, committed to the authority of the Bible and so on. So we haven't lost that much. The bad news is that we're not growing. We're losing and not growing. With all the authority of Christ behind us, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the message of the Bible and the gospel, which is God's best news and only hope for a lost humanity, we're not gaining. We're not growing. Now, should that get us up at night once in a while and get us on our knees and say, Lord, what's happening? Why are we not growing? Are we content to say, well, in the sovereignty of God, perhaps God just doesn't want to do that? I think that Jesus, faithful to this parable, would call us to get on our knees and keep knocking on that door. Lord, I don't know what's happening. We need your Spirit. We need for you to break through in a new way in our culture. And I believe that God would honor that shameless, persistent praying. In Promete, the school I worked with, we have been faced at times our backs against the wall trying to crank up a program. There are master's level programs that are out there, not very many. I know of a good one in Guatemala that's not going to attend to the needs of 21 countries and people moving, crossing boundaries and so on. There are liberal schools that are well-funded and well-endowed, and there are places people can go. But we're dealing with technology, how to create a real community online, and sometimes the funds just haven't been there. And I remember being in Costa Rica, and our administrator, Venezuelan administrator, was presenting his report, and he was saying, well, we had some garage sales this month, and that helped us pay the bills. And I went away thinking, garage sales? This is a master's level program, and we are struggling to pay our bills month by month. Is it time to, throw in the towel? And I'm reminded of this parable. When we're dealing with the honor of God and the authority of his word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are some things that are just too important to give up on. And with the authority of Christ and in Jesus' name and for the honor of God, we keep knocking. I would guess that in this audience, most of you have something you've prayed for a while. Maybe it is a person. Maybe it's someone in your family, a friend, a neighbor. Maybe it's a situation, and God has put this in your heart, and you say, this isn't right. For some, it's human trafficking, and this has become a burden to fight against the scourge of human trafficking. Maybe it's a university ministry. Maybe it's being a light for Christ in the marketplace, wherever your job or office or factory, something that God has laid in your heart. And, there have been some discouragements along the way, and he said, I wonder if it's time to quit praying about that. I want to just encourage you to go back and read this whole section. It starts out where Jesus says that, in the first place, we're looking for the honor of God, we're looking for his kingdom as well. That's primary, okay? It's not about my agenda. But we get on, but this is for the honor of God. But this is for the glory of his name. We must keep on knocking. Or our Father is a generous Father. We keep on asking. We keep on seeking. We keep on knocking. And Jesus said, God will give his Holy Spirit. Leave you with that challenge today. And maybe there's someone here that in your heart of hearts, you say, I still feel like I'm on the outside. This, you know, Christian stuff sounds good, kind of, you know, great worship team, really love the music, you know, kind of like hanging out with these people. But you really feel like you're on the outside. And you know there's one way to the Father, through Jesus Christ. That's how you get into his kingdom. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he died. He rose again. He ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he wants to give you his eternal life, his forgiveness, let you be a part of what he's doing in the world. And I would just say, we have a generous Father that wants to give good things. If you knock on that door, he will open it up and be delighted to let you in. May God bless you and encourage you this morning to keep seeking the Lord. He is a generous Father.